Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in today. Hope we find you blessed, well, and happy. And let's pray as we get ready to go into our teaching for today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let thy spirit go out over the airways. And God, wherever this broadcast may be received, it be received in love and the spirit of truth, and your anointing may abide upon it. And Lord, we ask you, God, to bless all that are in receipt of this teaching, Lord. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen and amen. We want to teach today on prayer and under the thought, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we may refer to this scripture several times in the teaching, but we want to read it as our foundation today. In Jude, in the first chapter, in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Here this verse tells us that we're praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to teach on that thought today, and a lot of people don't have no understanding of that, but I want you to listen today and let God open up your understanding, because there's an avenue of prayer here that we can pray as children of God that will make all the difference in the world. Now, in Galatians, the second chapter, in verse 6, and we're going to cover down through verse 15, starting in verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." That word thanksgiving is a key. We need to go to the Lord in thanksgiving and pray in prayer and with praise to him, not just begging and just not, "Lord, give me this, give me that," but go to him and give him thanksgiving for all that he's doing and all that he has done in your life. In verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you through hypocrisy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers." In verse 11, "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And ye, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you your transgressions, blotting out the handwritings and the ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." This verse 14 is very powerful. It explains how that he took all the things that was against you, back in also in 13, explaining how that all the trespasses, all the sins, he sowed them in a sea of forgetfulness, and he never will remember them anymore against you, for he nailed them to the cross. He took your sins and my sins. He took them to the cross. Verse 15, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." In other words, he became the propitiation for sin, and he paid the price and won the victory for you and I. Now we're forgiven, now we're washed, now we're cleansed. Also need to understand Isaiah chapter 59, the first three verses. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear." But listen to what verse 2 explains. In other words, God hears. He hears everybody. And the one scripture said, "God heareth not sinners," rightly divided into that. He hears it, but he's not obligated to answer it. So in verse 2, we get this explanation. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." In verse 3, it states, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness." If we're going to get our prayers through to God, we're going to have to come clean with God. And we're going to have to be in a fellowship with Him. And we can't be covered with the blood of our sins, as we just explained in the scriptures out of Colossians. He's willing to forgive them, forget them, and do away with them. He has the provisions. But if we choose, after all these promises God's made to us, if we choose to allow iniquity and sin and have all these things get between us and God, then He's not obligated to answer our prayer and to move for us. So we need to keep all this in mind. Now, with this foundation, we want to go back and read that scripture out of Jude in chapter 1, verse 20. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." There is an understanding here that I come about through my ministry, and I've seen the dead raised with it. I've seen blind eyes opened. I've seen the deaf hear again, the lame walk. I've seen every kind of miracle you can think of instantaneously in some cases because of the understanding of this section of scripture right here. Now, don't knock it if you don't have it. That's the best thing I can say. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't believe in tongues, don't knock it. When we acquired WHHV about 13 years ago, I told some of the preachers, I said, "Listen, now if you get up on this radio station and preach that the Holy Ghost of the devil or it's not real or tongues are not real," I said, "I'm going to cut you off." I said, "Understand that." So here's what I'm saying today. If you don't have it, you don't know nothing about it. Don't knock something that you don't have. When I've been serving God since May the 14, 1959, and I've watched God work. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for a good number of years, probably 40 years of that anyway. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I was a young man out of Floyd County, Virginia, that I simply stuttered. I wasn't able to speak good. And God, through the Holy Ghost, gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And after that, I could speak in tongues in a foreign language or in another unknown tongue. But also, I could speak clearly in English. And I was able to preach and minister. So listen very carefully, and I'm going to warn you, if you speak against the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven you in this life or in the life to come. You're going to doom your soul to devil's hell. A lot of preachers in the pulpit today have doomed their soul. They do no longer have salvation. They no longer have the Spirit. They have a mockery. They have a counterfeit. They have a seem right way, but they do not have the real thing. So I want you to be real careful that you don't knock something that you don't know nothing about. Because this thing is real. And for 45 years I've preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen the miracles by the thousands. I've seen what God can do through prayer and through praying in the Holy Ghost. First of all, a person must be saved, born again with the Spirit of God. And lest you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. But you don't get all of the Holy Ghost of God the moment you get saved. That would be like a baby being born and throwing him a T-bone steak. And here, son, here's your dinner. Nobody would do that, and God surely don't do that to us. But as we grow in the understanding of God, we come to the understanding of needing the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence speaking in tongues. And as we're sanctified, and I'll cover this in many, many teachings, and this is something you need. This is something that the church world is totally ignorant of as a whole. This is something that most preachers are ignorant of. First of all, they have to get right with God. They have to get their lustful eye and all those lust spirits they have. They have to get those prayed through and get them under subjection to the Spirit. And they have to come into a place where they commit to God. this thing is more than golf. This thing is more than going fishing. This thing's more than a big party time or having a big steak dinner. And a lot of preachers, that's all they're caught up in. They're not in a real world. They're just caught up in all that kind of stuff and what the golf game is or something else that's got their life under control. But you have to give your life to Jesus Christ. You have to give your life to God. And if you don't give your life to God, you're not going to have the Holy Ghost, not have the gifts of it. But you need to seek God to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after you become filled with the Holy Ghost, then you can have this understanding. It'll come real clear to you. But in 1 Corinthians, in the 14th chapter, verse 14 and 15, and we may touch a little bit further with that as we go. Verse 14, "For I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding. Also I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding." And it goes on in 16, "Else when they bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, as thou giveth of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" We have to rightly divide the diversities of tongues and realize there's a proper place for each tongue. So much of the church world, religious world today, only caught part of what Paul said. He talked about how that he spoke in tongues more than all. They didn't catch that, but they just said the part where he'd rather speak, you know, five words than all these other words in an unknown tongue. They don't rightly divide it. See, the understanding of this is today that this is an intercessory prayer tongue. This is something you do within the privacy of your home, your own prayer closet. This is not something necessarily that you jump up in the midst of the congregation and start doing. Yes, there's a place for tongues in the service, but this is a place where that he said, "I will pray with the understanding." And he goes on to explain how as we pray with the understanding, that is very important. That 15th verse has the whole key to it within it. What is it then? Well, I pray with the spirit and I will pray with understanding also. And he goes on to talk about the singing. Here, this is the part when the spirit prays for us. And we're going to cover some verses that enlighten us on that also. In Paul's writings to the Romans in the 8th chapter and verse 26 and verse 27, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And then in verse 27, "And he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Many times when I don't know how to pray or what to pray, the Holy Ghost will come in me. I'll go off. Had it happen the other day. Someone was severe in the hospital and we didn't know what the outcome was. And as I was going through the parking lot privately to myself, the Holy Ghost came on me and began to intercede and pray. And he knew what the will of God was, where this person was to live or die. He knew what needed to take place. And I prayed, and the Spirit of God came on me and made intercessions to the Father. And I got the most wonderful peace about the situation. It was just all in God's hands, and God took care of it. So it's very important to understand that the Spirit of God prays through us. He makes intercession for us. And this reason I see so many people that I reach out to people sometime that are dying, and they have no understanding of how to pray and how to pray in the Spirit. And you just can't reach them. A lot of time I believe they die prematurely because they hadn't set aside time to worship God and to praise Him and to enter into His courts with thanksgiving and praise. And because of that, they die. And I believe they could live out their years or live many more years. But if you have the Holy Ghost, He prays the will of the Father for you. So we thank you for tuning in today. Let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach thy word on a subject that is so important, a subject that changes lives. And Lord, we ask God that people would receive this with the understanding of love, and God, that they would become prayer warriors and will, Lord, see their needs met, but not only needs of their own, but needs of those around them and those they pray for by the Spirit making intercession. God grant it, touch hearts is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.